Start your morning off right with Nashville's dynamic duo, Robbie Stanley.
Just beautiful.
And Joe Rexrode.
Glad we get that started.
This is Robbie and Rexrode, brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, where the best clinic is your home. On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app.
Slingshot engage.
Final hour, Robbie and Rexrode, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrode, Nick Kieser here with you on this Thursday morning. And as we do every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Charles, good morning, good early morning out there in Las Vegas. How are we doing?
Doing well. I'm very happy to be on with Robbie and Rox Chode.
Oh. Just absolutely beautiful. So you've been around for a lot of moments in Joe Rexrode's career. Where does this moment with Scott Stapp of Creed rank in your mind? Because to me, it's got to be at the top.
He's getting clapped. Like, anyone from Creed at this point is amazing. That was amazing. It was awesome. I love that clip.
Not to take this down a rabbit hole, like inside jokes, but one time, Charles, at MSU, I got into a screaming match with Drew Chabot because he told me that Creed was good, and I was like, that's the worst effing album I've ever heard in my life, and it just is all flooding back to me now. This was like the late 90s. God.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love it. You didn't go ahead and hang that clip in the Hall of Fame. Oh. You need to play that every intro for the show forever.
I agree. I mean, I said last segment, excellent. You can't overplay it.
You can't. I laugh every time I hear it.
Oh, it's just incredible.
Vowels are hard.
Shut up, Rexrode. So, Charles, out there in Vegas for the Super Bowl, San Francisco and Kansas City, we'll get into the matchup specifically here in just a few minutes. I am curious, though. We were talking about this earlier. If Kansas City wins and they're able to pull this off and win their third Super Bowl in the last 5 years, given you know, all the teams in the NFL now, the salary cap, everything that we've seen, where does this run from Kansas City and Mahomes and Reed and Kelsey rank when you start to stack up kind of the all-time dynasties? I mean, New England obviously had their run, and it was kind of two separate dynasties when you really look at it, you know, early in Brady's career and then late in Brady's career. Yeah. But where does this rank when you look at what Kansas City has been able to accomplish if they pull this off Sunday?
I mean, in sort of the short area of six seasons as Mahomes' starter, I mean, it's up there with anyone, I think, at any point. Anything that the Niners put out there, I think, same with the Brady. Same with Brady and the Patriots, and obviously the dynasty that the Cowboys had in the 90s. I think it's – you can just pretty much stack them up with everyone because now they're set up. It's funny that people forget that Brady went a really sustained period without winning a Super Bowl. And you start to approach, like, can Mahomes really do it? Can he catch him in terms of the number of championships? Because when Brady won seven, at least for me, I'm like, that'll never be matched. Like, there's no way. Like, it's ridiculous to even think about. But 3-6 is just so absurd. And being here and being around Mahomes this week, what struck me is how, like, normalized this is for him now. He's almost bored. The only thing I can really compare it to, I remember Gronkowski at the very end of the Patriots run. They had been to so many Super Bowls. I remember Gronk one time at the podium being like, I'm so bored. I'm so bored being here. And being like, what a problem to have as a player going to so many Super Bowls that it just becomes this, like, normalized thing to you. But that's kind of how I look at Mahomes right now. He just is. There's nothing about this experience that he hasn't been through. He's perpetually in an AFC title game or a Super Bowl every single year. And, you know, you can just, if there's any difference between the two teams, you look at, like, Trent Williams on the 49ers. This is a huge experience for him. And you're like, God, this guy's been in the league forever. He's been an all pro. He's been at the pinnacle for such a long time. And yet, this Super Bowl experience is, and I don't want to say overwhelming for him, but you can see that it's a really big deal for him. And then you look at Mahomes and you're like, to him, he's just like, okay, yeah, well, all right, we're playing in February once again. Like, let's go ahead and get through this. And the questions and kind of the way everything rolls out, it it just doesn't faze him at all. And it's wild to see a player, you know, on that level where he is at this point in his career. And realistically, I think if they win this, the shot he has to catch Brady is as real as probably anything we'll ever see. Now, I don't know. I wonder how long can they keep, you know, Andy Reid here? What's going to happen when eventually they swap out Travis Kelce, because that's the big, you know, piece that I think has helped him sustain this run. But it's just pretty amazing to kind of see the guy in this environment now and how unfazed he is by anything that's happening here.
On the other side, if the Niners lose, is Kyle Shanahan headed toward basically being like the Andy Reid existence, you know, of a great coach, but, and then also Brock Purdy, you know, and I know I'm asking a question without knowing how the game goes, but to me, we've talked about this week, Charles, like Brock Purdy, you know, I think he's very good. Obviously, I think he cements himself with a win, but maybe it also is a little bit of hope for the rest of the league. Like you don't just have to try to find Mahomes. You can have a great team and a very good quarterback and still win it.
Yeah, I mean, look, it means a lot for Kyle. I don't think there's any question. You know, how many times can you get here either as a coordinator or a head coach and you know, not be able to close a game? And you go back to the Falcons loss to the Patriots, kind of how Kyle called the remainder of that game, you know, the errors.
Did not
that
do math,
made.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's just times where you're like, you know, you could just ran the ball. Maybe you walk out with a Super Bowl ring. And, I mean, so I think there's an element of legacy that is on the line for him here. But I also think that when you look at the composition of the 49ers team, you know, it's even if they lose this one, and I'm not saying it wouldn't be damaging, you know, to Kyle, you know, legacy wise, they're going to be in it they should be the way the team's constructed. They should be hanging around here for a bit. And part of that is, you know, Purdy's age, his mastery of the offense. And, you know, in terms of how Purdy would be viewed here, we've gone through the few days already, which we knew was going to happen about, like, oh, is, you know, the whole game manager crap and talking about all that. And, I will say this about Purdy, and I kind of learned this more from the Vikings and Kirk Cousins. When Kirk Cousins was running the Shanahan offense in Minnesota and he got hurt, I was talking to somebody who was close to Kirk and the situation there. And they said, look, the reason why Kirk was playing at such a high level, is it takes like 2 years before you really master the Shanahan offense. You want to be able to go to the line of scrimmage with three plays in your back pocket, all these different aspects of it. And it took Cousins, at this advanced stage of his career, the veteran that he is, it really took him 2 years to get a hold of how that offense completely functions. Purdy's been able to do it in half that time. I mean, I know we're in year two now, but his starts have been limited. Obviously, last year he was buried on the depth chart at you know, the third quarterback spot. And it says a lot about him, how quickly he's been able to pick this up, handle it, and then have moments where he's not a quote unquote game manager. I mean, there have been, you know, he'll leave a game winning drive late in a game where maybe he's not even playing his best football, and he'll rip off like a 9-yard run that's devastating to the opposing team. That's not managing the game. That's manipulating it. And I think people just got to get over it. And, you know, people keep asking me, like, who do you got in this game? Who do you got? It's so clear. The 49ers roster, top to bottom, is definitely the best team here, you know, in Vegas. It's just that you have Mahomes in Kansas City, and you see what Mahomes does in the playoffs. So it's this idea of, like, the complete roster and a great coach versus the best quarterback, the best player in the league, and a great coach. And how do you balance those two out? I think it should be a great game. Between these two teams, I'm probably in the minority here, where I just feel like I see the Niners being like a 1-point win type of team in this game. But it's at this point, you're probably stupid for betting against Patrick Mahomes, and so that puts me kind of in that category this week. I'm going to be the stupid one.
Hey, somebody's got to be. We'll have more with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We continue our conversation with Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports now on the program. Charles joins us every Thursday morning from 8 to 8.30 here on the program. Charles, we talked about the prospects of the Chiefs winning this. How much longer do you think Andy Reid wants to do this? Because there was some speculation a few weeks ago that maybe if they win, he could retire. And I kind of look at it as, man, as long as you've got Patrick Mahomes and you feel like you could still do it, you're going to have a chance every year. So what do you make of the Andy Reid part of this?
Yeah, don't you kind of feel like this is like someone who's in like a job where they're making a ton of money and you're like, don't you just ride that as long as you can?
Yeah.
You just ride it out, man. Like, what are you doing? You spent all these years positioning yourself to, you know, be attached to a player of this caliber. You know, you think about all the failures in Philadelphia. See, he was so successful there and yet just never able to get it over the top. And now he's got this player who is, like I said in the prior segment, he's capable of taking you into a game against a better team. And you just really question yourself ever picking against this player. So for Andy, I don't know why you'd walk away from that. And I don't know if it was Adam Schefter who kind of brought up and like Bill Belichick, like this idea that maybe Bill Belichick could be the team that if Andy were to retire, hey, maybe Bill Belichick walks in. If you're Andy Reid, are you? I'd be like, yeah, I'm going to coach home 100. Like, suck it, Belichick. Like, why would you turn this team and this quarterback ever think about turning this team and this quarterback over to anybody? I guess you have considerations of family and just whatever else you want to do. Andy has not sounded to me here like he looks like he's a guy who is burned out or, you know, needs a break, you know, wants to just walk away from this. It doesn't seem to fit his demeanor, you know, in this position. So, but again, you know, we don't know every consideration in the background. And I know Adam was the first, Schefter was the first one to bring this up. So I'm sure that, you know, he has potentially heard it from other people. I have not. And it's just, again, it's hard for me to see a coach of that stature who's worked so hard to put himself into this situation, walking away from a Patrick Mahomes, who's ultimately in his prime. And by the way, Mahomes, there's zero question what Mahomes wants. He wants Andy Reid to be around here forever. You know, I think he loves Andy Reid as a coach, a play caller, you know, everything that he could want as a leader of the franchise. So it's an interesting, you know, kind of narrative. And to me, there would have to be, I'd be curious to know what would fuel that, having listened to, you know, Andy since we've been here and not getting any inkling that he feels, you know, worn out or anything. And again, I just keep thinking in my mind, like, unless he knew I'm turning this opportunity over to X, to someone who I really feel like, you know, deserves to have this player in this team, I don't know any reason why at this stage he'd do something like that.
All right, two Nash Vegas adjacent questions for you as you're in Las Vegas, Charles. One, how big of a deal is it for the Titans to get Bill Callahan, as I promised they would? And two, does Mike Vrabel need to stop lifting for a while and get some like some thick glasses and like, you know, like a nerdy haircut or something so people will hire him?
Well, first and foremost, Callahan, we talked about this before. Like, I thought, you know, it was hard for me to envision, like, the Cleveland Browns saying, no, we're not going to let you go and you know, fulfill what is probably a dream at this point to see his son get a head coaching job and then, you know, go and be part of the staff. And it's massive. I think it's huge for the offensive line. I still think that you've got to add talent. There has to be horses there for him to work with. But, I mean, he's just a tremendous, tremendous offensive line coach, tremendous designer when it comes to, you know, implementing a running game. It's just, there's a reason why he was making a ton of money as a as an assistant coach for the Cleveland Browns. There's a reason why I know they are hurt to lose him, you know, to the Titans. And so I think it's – and also it was sort of this thought in my mind where I'm like, well, if this is a package deal, this is a pretty great package if you're the Titans, particularly given where they need to get better and the problems that that the team had in 2023. So I couldn't imagine a better addition at that particular position where it could be transformative for their offense. So I think that's absolutely great. And, you know, Vrabel, I don't know what to tell you. It was weird to even, you know, kind of see that report from Diana Rossini that, you know, his size and stature probably intimidates some people. By the way, I do believe it. Like, I think that we forget a lot of these owners, they're not used to dealing with people like Mike. Like, as a journalist, I will say that, like, for myself, over the expanse of my career, there have been individuals who carry themselves in a way that can be a little intimidating. You know, they can be hard to get close to. They can be people who you're like, you sort of feel like you're always on a footing trying to earn some respect in a one-to-one conversation. I would put Mike in that. Honestly, I would. And the last time I was there, he and I talked about, you know, his time in Houston, and there was a similar bar that we both knew about. And I was like delighted to have this connection where I'm like, yeah, I know where that bar is. It's, you know, down the street from my house. We used to go there all the time, and just kind of have this like nice regular person moment where you're talking to him about, you know, having frequented sort of the same place and why you liked it or whatever.
Now, please don't hit Mike.
Yeah. I mean, like, he can be, you know, he's a very, I will say this about, and I don't think it's so much his stature, although he definitely has that. He's just a really intense guy. He just is. You feel it the second, and he's been like that his entire career. He was like that as a player. I remember being in the Patriots locker room and being like, God, like, this is, he's one of these dudes where you're like, it feels like you're competing to even talk to him and to interview him. So I do think there's probably an element of that is somewhat true. It blows my mind though, to think he can't get jobs because, you know, there's owners who are just maybe a little overwhelmed by him. I don't know. I will say this too about him. And this is not for speaking to Mike directly, but, you know, kind of knowing other people in his sphere, he really wants to be coaching this season. Like, there's no question in my mind that it's a tough spot for him to be like, I'm looking at taking a year off from being a coach in the National Football League. I'm curious to see really what unfolds for him, what he does with himself, because, you know, I don't think there's any other job he wants to be doing this season other than coaching a football team. So it's always interesting when you see people put in that situation where, like, a Sean Payton takes a year off. I think Sean's completely fine. Yeah, I'll do TV. Like, he was like, I can totally not coach for a year and be fine with it. I don't think Mike's fine with it. I think he wants to get in. And I would say that 2025, you know, there's going to be a very, very high priority in his mind to getting back into the league as a head coach.
Charles, last thing for you here. We talked with you about this situation a few months ago, but I'm interested to get your thoughts on it now. T. Higgins in Cincinnati. How do you view that situation and where that seems to be trending in your mind?
Man, that's a good question. I wish I could tell you I was all prepped up on my free agency stuff now that I'm, you know, here at the Super Bowl. I don't know, you know, in my mind, again, and I'll be completely honest with you here, I have not been switched into sort of free agency mode and like where things are going with teams. But, you know, the Bengals, I will say the Bengals, the thought process there amongst ownership, the coaching staff, has been to try and keep that collection together, you know, as long as they possibly can. I don't know what free agency is going to look like though for him. You know, I think the availability, when you look at this draft, it's not going to be great for a guy like T, because this draft is loaded with wide receivers. I mean, it's crazy how many wide receivers are coming out in this draft. And, you know, that's going to be prohibitive when it comes to sitting there and going, do we want to play, you know, pay a wide receiver? Well, let's say that last season weighs on him. Do we want to pay a wide receiver $18, $19, $20 million, $22 million a year when legitimately there could be 5 first-round wide receivers, 6 first-round wide receivers? Or do we want to go and get a young guy in the draft? And by the way, that's just in the first round. It's going to be a deep draft for wide receivers. So I do think that's something that could potentially – you know, weigh on him in free agency. But I'm being completely upfront with you guys. I have not shifted into that mode where I've started to ask people, like, let's shape up the free agency class and where is this going? And, you know, how did last season, you know, maybe how did that impact the jockeying of positions and players? So ask me when I get out of here next week, maybe I will be a little more dialed in on free agency once I get out of Vegas. By the way, Vegas, they can't keep putting Super Bowls here because they just can't. Like, it was Thursday. I've already had 1.5 nights where I had a hard time remembering how I got back to my room. I was with Dan Wetzel last night. I was like, look, I'm not proud to admit this. I was like, but it's late Wednesday night. I've definitely had a night here where the next morning I was like really struggling to remember how exactly I got back to my room. I don't think we have a lot of Super Bowls here. And it's been a rainy week, by the way. It's not like it's been a beautiful, you know, I guess in Vegas it doesn't really matter if it rains, but
yeah. Game's not till
Sunday.
There's
no weather in Vegas.
You got a lot of time left.
Yeah.
Stop
hanging out with Wetzel. That's your problem.
Everybody here is run. I will tell you, everybody here, I can tell a lot of people already run ragged because you see them at the availabilities and we're all like, eyes are just like swollen. And last night I was going through the casino. It's like 1 a.m, which tells you like what time, like I'm working at like 4 hours sleep here, 4.5 hours. And there was another national reporter that I passed and they were at a roulette table. It was completely out of hand. Like, everybody's like yelling and screaming. It was a total scene. And I noticed as I walked by, they weren't wearing any shoes. They were in bare feet. And I'm like, you're in a casino. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, shoeless Schefter, huh?
At the roulette table at 1 a.m. screaming and yelling as you're like, it was just a total absolute scene. Yeah. that's where we're at. That was Wednesday.
Maybe they should put it there every year. I mean, just every year, yeah. Have it there.
I thought about taking a picture too. I was like, maybe I should take a picture. I'm like, nah, that'll just get me in trouble because I want to put that on social media.
Well, Charles, really appreciate you taking time to join us. As always, get you some rest this weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, take care, guys.
Enjoy.
Charles Robinson, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll take your thoughts on what Charles had to say. Lots to react there. Coming up next, this is Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Thanks to Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for being with us in the last segment. We got some tickets to give away. Now, we're going to do things a little bit differently this morning. So we got a big prize for you that I think a lot of you are going to be interested in. We got some tickets to see Kenny Chesney and Zach Brown Band with special guests Megan Maroney and Uncle Cracker coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, August 3rd. And we're going to be giving these away over the next few days here close to Valentine's Day. And what has become a tradition here on the program, we need your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So make sure you text in. Do not call in. Make sure you get somewhere safely to text. It doesn't have to be very soon. We're going to do this over the next 30 minutes or so here. But
there you go. You got some time.
Your worst first date story. Your worst first date story. Whatever story comes to mind when you think about the worst first date you've ever had, let us know about it on our text line. Nick Kieser is going to be our judge back there. And Nick Kieser's favorite story is going to win a pair of tickets to see Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band with special guests Megan Maroney and Uncle Cracker coming up at Nissan Stadium on Saturday, August the 3rd. So do something that you think will impress Nick Kieser.
Worst first date story.
Correct.
I got some candidates, but let's hear from the people.
Let's hear from the people.
By the way, you know, Charles out there in Vegas with Dan Wetzel, I don't know if all Twitter heard that, but I wonder if Charles is also an agent for the NCAA, as is Dan Wetzel. What were they pronouncing?
Charles has made some things
names?
Happen with the NCAA before, if memory that serves me correctly.
This is true. Charles has actually helped the NCAA take the Heisman away from Reggie Bush. So I guess actually Charles is an agent of the NCAA.
I was about to say that he might be the one that is. Who knows?
God, it's all been a conspiracy all along. I never knew, Wetzel. Never knew.
By the way, there's some rain expected to be coming up on Saturday. So with that in mind, the Super Saturday that we've been talking about has been postponed to a future date, benefiting the Nashville Predators Foundation. Any tickets that have been purchased will be honored on the rescheduled date. We'll have more details on when that'll be coming up here shortly. But just make sure you stay tuned for that. It's going to be outdoors, so we don't want, obviously, people getting rained on Saturday. So we'll keep you updated with the new date for Super Saturday when that becomes available to us. What did you make of what Charles had to say about the Super Bowl matchup there? It was interesting to get his perspective on the dynasty part of it. And I'm with him. Like, you know, we've talked about the conversation around Andy Reid. Like, to me, when you got this machine rolling as well as it is right now, it'd be hard to walk away from, I think, if you're Andy Reid or anybody.
Yes, although Texter did point out, maybe Mahomes wants him out because he's after his nuggies.
Maybe so.
No, I think Andy Reid is it's a great situation. If you're loving what you're doing, you got this QB getting paid well. He doesn't seem to me like somebody who's itching to get out, you know? So, yeah, I understand why there would be questions about it at this point and why there would be speculation, but there just hasn't been any indication that I know of that he's actually considering it. And I'm with Charles. I don't see why they wouldn't ride this out. I mean, if you're those two and you're like, well, look at this defense, as Indy Ben says, we're not talking about Steve Spagnuolo, but you're like, look at this defense, a lot of good young talent defense. You know, they've done a good job of kind of reconstructing that offensive line and everything. Pacheco now has become a nice player for them. I mean, while Kelsey still has some clock, and I think he's got a few good years left, get yourself another game-changing receiver or two. You telling me you're not chasing down more rings with that? I mean, what they've done with their receiving core this year should be depressing for the rest of the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, we've talked about, you know, it's famous, like Brady gets talked about for winning some Super Bowls with the receiving core that he had, and you know, like, you got Deion Branch out there. And,
Hey, man. It's a good fantasy pickup for me in 2001,
it,
but sure.
It was. But, I mean, there have been some light receiving cores that he's won Super Bowls with.
But a great tight end.
But a great tight end.
Same kind of thing, right?
And, I mean, this would be up there. I think Rice has a chance to be a pretty good player. Other than that, the receiving core is pretty light. Like, I've watched MVS play for a while. That guy's not very reliable. Oh, he made a good catch in the AFC title game.
He did. He finally made a play.
He made a play, so good for him. But the receiving core is very light that Patrick Mahomes is working with, which does scare you, though. Like, if they ever – like, if they draft and hit on a receiver at some point here, you're like, man, what's that going to mean for the rest of the league if he gets another weapon on the outside?
I mean, even if
makes
he –
you think back to Tyreek Hill.
I mean, if you – because I do think Rice is good. If he just had two – good receivers and that kid grows,
yeah,
it's curtains, man.
You think he catches Brady?
I mean, seven is so many.
I was thinking about this as Charles was talking, because Charles was kind of laying out the case of how he's probably got the best chance of anybody to do it, and I was thinking, like, so if he wins Sunday, he's got three. And he still has to win four more. That's a lot.
And again, so Brady won his third, and then he won a decade.
Yeah.
And then added four, which is crazy. So I don't know. That's a lot. I do think when it comes down to the – and I'm with everybody who says, take it easy. Let's calm down on the GOAT stuff. I mean, Mahomes is a first-ballot Hall of Famer if he quits today, right?
Yes.
For sure. I do think that if Mahomes were to get – I hate that it's just we're counting rings when we're saying go. Like, you know, Peyton has one ring when he was good, and he's very high on the list. Dan Marino has no rings. He's very high on the list of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. I do think if Mahomes just extends his career, keeps playing at this level for several more years, and he gets like another ring or two, then I think he will have a case as the GOAT, even if he doesn't get to seven. Some of you
has
will
he
disagree.
Overtaken, has he already overtaken Dan Fouts
on your personal ranking, or has he got some ways to go?
Easy. He's not that. Yeah, I mean, Mahomes isn't even the best AFC West quarterback of all time. That's my man, Danny Fouts. Hall of Famer.
Friend of the program.
Friend of the program, Hall of Famer.
Dan Fouts, friend of the program. Scott Stapp, friend of the program. We're building quite a resume here on Robbie and Rex Road.
Yeah, Dan Fouts seems to know how to use vowels. Someone on the text line said, Jared's going to be mad for not asking Charles about the Rand not going to Senior Bowl crap he's been crying about. Please tell me Jared hasn't been crying about that this week. From Vegas, on Radio Row, still talking about Rand in the Senior Bowl? That's not true, is it?
I don't think so. I don't know. I have not heard him talking about that this week.
And by the way, remember last week, the Senior Bowl?
I mean, we could have asked him for his thoughts on Tony Gonzalez and whether or not Tony Gonzalez ranks ahead of Anthony Firkser in NFL history of tight ends.
But well, I was too easy on him on the Tony Gonzalez thing.
I heard that I was yesterday. Way I was like, what's he talking about? Yeah, Tony Gonzalez. Yeah. He's okay. He never really – I don't remember any plays from him, though.
Yeah, he had like a Shannon Sharp play he remembers. And I don't remember that from Tony Gonzalez. Okay. When did you start watching football? 2014?
Tony G was the man. Top five tight end of all time?
Oh, without question. Probably top three, right? I think so.
Yeah.
Kelsey have a chance to be number one?
I think Kelsey is number one. Right. I think he could quit today and he's number one. Some people say Gronk, and I could hear that. Gronk's great, but I think Kelsey is the greatest of all time already.
It's hard to argue. He's just been incredible. I do think that the other guy, as far as an all-around player, because he's a destructive blocker, it has a chance to, continue and have a much longer career. He's got a chance to get in that discussion.
615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll have our final thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup for the day coming up next. We'll revisit Scott Stapp's beautiful appearance here on our program, and we'll also give our final thoughts on Brock Bowers apparently saying, you know what, Tennessee Titans be a nice place for me. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyes are here with you.
You see this latest from DJ Burnside?
Yeah, I have.
I'm just seeing it. My God, I'm an ugly person.
You look great.
God. I do. I mean, I love the – I'm trying to figure out whose hair would that be. It looks like Don Dokken. Is that Don Dokken's hair? I sure hope so.
Out of me.
Underrated hair metal band from the 80s, Dokken.
That's one
under
I've
lock
heard
and
of.
Key. Oh, you never heard of Dokken?
I don't think so.
That's not as bad as your Beatles take, but, man, I feel sad for you.
I'm just glad other people agree with me that Creed is better than Beatles.
Yeah, totally. Thankfully, I did have some angry, appropriately furious response on the text line. I appreciate you all who provided some sanity.
So, Nick, let's go ahead and hear this again. For those who may have missed it earlier, if you missed today's Rex rant, I can promise you, you're going to want to go back and check it out. We will probably, as a program, never top the Rex rant that we had today. But here's what happened on our show yesterday. The great Scott Stapp of Creed. Now officially a member of Robbie and Rex Road.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
Thank you. That was just something for our sister station.
Okay. Did I say Rex Road right?
Rex Road.
Rex Road. Okay, let me do that again.
No worries.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
I appreciate the attention to detail that Scott Stapp put into making sure he got everything right. He went back and he checked it out. He's like, you know, did I say Rex Road right? Rex Road. Okay. Let me make sure I go back and do that again.
Hi, this is Scoot Stipp from Crude. I have a problem with vowels.
And Rex Road.
I blame somebody.
I have a problem with vowels and making bad music.
I blame somebody. It's got to be somebody's handwriting.
Yeah. So
the E and the O
didn't put the little thing.
Yeah, didn't put the swoop in there.
I want to see it. I want to see the evidence. Because I'm really hoping that Scott Stapp knows that this program, and I know it's not you, Robbie. You're just kind of caught in the mix here. But this program has been ripping Creed for many years. And I hope
Speak
that
for yourself.
He actually knew that. Well, I know. You're right. Just me, okay? I will own that.
And Rocks
I hope
Road.
That he knew that and that he has actually took the chance to take a little shot.
Well, if he did. It was well done by him. I enjoyed every last second of it. A lot of Rocks Road jokes
on the text line today. We've talked about it before. You've been called many things throughout the course of your life. This is my favorite. Above Joe Rule, above Rex Toad, Rex Rod, this is the best of all time. The GOAT by Scott Stapp.
One time I got this fight in college. This kid called me Rex Bleep and Rex Bleep, like body parts.
Yeah.
This is definitely – the fact that no one has ever gone with Rox Road is wild. You know what I mean? Because it kind of makes sense.
It kind of is.
Oh, well. Good for you, Scott Stapp. He's a true, you know, a true wordsmith, that
Scott
Stapp.
We're going to hear that clip a lot on the program as we move forward here. I said it earlier, and I still believe it. There may be a time it changes, but I don't know that we can overplay it. So we're going to do it for a while, but we'll see how it goes.
I mean, I think that may be – you know, the – we're vibing, Robbie. That was one that – got a lot of play.
It got a lot of play.
From Joey, Ryan Johansson.
Yeah.
We've had others, but this one's got a chance to.
It's got a chance.
This one's
got
a chance
power.
To really have some staying power.
Yes, yeah. No question about
Much
that.
Much better staying power than Creed.
Wow. Speak for yourself. They're on commercials now.
Yeah, they are. They're on commercials. They're touring.
Yeah.
It's time to get back on the road and make some money. I'd rather listen to REO Speedwagon fart into an accordion than go to a Creed show. But that's just me.
Hey, Joe, I have to clear something up because you think that this was done maliciously. It was on my end and Robbie's end. But
wait, you wrote R-O-X?
No, I wrote Rex Road. I wrote the, like I said, hey, I mean, I'll tell the whole story. I told Haley, you know, when he was coming in, I was like, hey, can you get him to do a liner for Robbie and Rex Road? It'll be really funny because Joe hates Creed. And so we'll play it. And then it took a whole nother level. When he said Rox Road.
It did.
It is amazing.
Like, that was not planned.
It could not have gone better.
That was not planned. And I sent it to Robbie, and I said, I have actual tears flowing down my face right now. I'm laughing so hard. I sent it to Ryan Porth, who had the same reaction.
Oh, I can imagine his screaming.
He's like, he's like, that is absolutely perfect.
Yeah. I mean, we could have scripted it, and it couldn't have gone better than it actually did.
No, it was great. But look, Scott could not have been better. Yeah. He was nicer. He was really cool. Creed playing at Bridgestone. So
I'd love to make it
clear.
We'll
get you backstage. Yeah. We'll get you front row. It'll be great.
I would love to make it clear that I love Creed.
Yeah, that's good.
Rex Road can shut up.
You can do all the damage control you want.
There's no damage control. I'm dead serious. I love Creed. Leave it alone. A lot of disrespect today on the program.
I love you, Scott Stapp. That changed my mind. I'm going to buy the Creed box set.
That does it for us today here on the program. Chase McCabe and Big Joe Dubin coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rox Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.